Well, where we left off with Paul is that he's been dealing with this problem of them feeling like they're being spiritual in the way that they're criticizing and moving forward and arguing with each other. And he's been saying, no, this isn't maturity. Maturity isn't defined by the arguments that you have with people. Maturity is defined by the way you come together with people. And he said, if you were really following the gospel helps facilitate that. The gospel doesn't help facilitate arguing. And he had gotten to the point of last week of saying, if the gospel is true, that every good thing comes from above, every manifestation of something good that comes out here on earth is actually God's grace falling down on us. If that's true, then he says, this is a wonderful thing to know, that if you're a follower of Jesus, that part of the gift of being a follower of Jesus is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says that God has promised that the Holy Spirit will be with you. And he said the reason why that's important is because all the good things from above that are coming down to us, Jesus has given the power to the Holy Spirit to divide that goodness up in whatever way he so chooses. And he does it in all sorts of different ways, in various ways. And each person here, we have, God knows who you are. He knows what you enjoy. He knows what would be the perfect, the best gift for you. And he's allotted out a section of that goodness, the big grace of God that's coming out. He's given a section of it to you to be able to figure out, to be able to pursue, to be able to uncover, and to be a part of this goodness happening as God pours it out. And the reason why that's important is because being a part of good happening around us is really the only way to have a fulfilling life. It's really the only way to have joy that's long-lasting. And so he's saying this is a wonderful thing, and he says, pursue that, look for it. Start seeking out, how is it that I can connect to this goodness that God is throwing down on the earth by his grace? And what's my portion in it, and how am I going to connect to that? Let me turn my ringer off before someone calls me as a prank. No. Here's where he starts off then. He ends that chapter then by saying, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, or emulate. And then the greater gifts, it's the context of gifts, so that's true. But the way he describes it is just emulate the big graces of God that you see happening. In other words, as you start to see God's goodness and God's grace happening in some big ways, he says it's a great idea to just sort of emulate that. He says it's fine to do that. Now, he's already cleared up that what he's saying is, look, you see someone praying for sick and they get healed. If you see that, great, emulate that. But he says, don't emulate it by thinking this person has figured something out or that there's something good about this person. He's already said that. You've been doing that, saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. Saying, don't emulate it with that. If you can get your thinking squared out and you see that the only reason why this is happening with this person is because God's grace is pouring out and his goodness is coming out and you see it happening in this type of way, then go ahead and emulate it. If you see someone, he's about to say, give all that they have to the poor, and you see God's goodness coming out and you see that happening, and not that you give them credit or you think this person has a system that's figured out or this will make me a good person. He's already talked about all that. You can't go there. That's contrary to the gospel. But if you see it correctly, that this is just God's grace coming down and you're trying to figure out what part is my part, what would I like to be able to have, you can figure that out by saying, well, you know, this sounds great. I want to emulate this. So he says, insofar as you can keep your mind and find these areas of big grace or what appears to you to be, this is a big grace. And to be honest, that's most of what happens in the church and in the lives of Christians is a lot of it is we're trying to figure out how we're going to have fulfillment in life, how we're going to connect to what God's doing by looking out and seeing what we see as a success. We got to get our minds squared out that this isn't success, it's God's grace coming down. But once we can get that figured out, he says, the first thing is figure that out. But most of the church is about, well, this something big is happening at this church, another church will emulate it. I see this person happening, it seems like there's some really awesome things happening, I'm going to emulate what that person is doing. Sometimes we'll read a book or something. It's a lot about that emulation, and he says, that's all great, as long as you figured out how that lines up with the gospel. As long as you're not approaching it in terms of this person figured out the right way to do things and now this person's better, Paul is better, Apollos is better. As long as you're not doing that stuff with it, if you're just trying to, if you're seeing, here's something that I feel like God's doing and I just want to connect to it by emailing, he says, that's awesome. Do that. But then he says, let me highlight or show you a path that's even better than that. If you're trying to figure out what's my part and how do I fit in with the grace of God pouring out, emulation is fine, but he's about ready to say that's kind of like the way a little child says, there's a better way to go about this. And here's how he starts to bring that out. I'll show you a still more excellent way. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. What he's saying is, what it is that we need to be emulating isn't necessarily the expressions of love that come out. He says, the goal isn't to just be doing all these things that you think of as awesome. That's great. But what we're really supposed to be emulating is the reason why God's pouring all these good things down. The reason why he's pouring them down is because he loves us and he cares about us. And so he says, look, the better way is to start trying to emulate that heart of love. If you just go out and start trying to actually not show love to people, show love is great, but actually love them, then the showing of the love will come naturally. I've told you guys this before, but I'll mention again. I remember this was quite a while ago when becoming missional and people put all these different labels on stuff in the church. And that's because, you know, you feel like you see something that's happening. And so you want to label it, write some books about it. It becomes popularized and then everyone starts to emulate it. And so this one pastor, this is missional, which is labeled that way because it's the idea that churches have just been about sort of Sunday mornings, but we really need to like get out into the community in some sort of way. And so I was talking to this one pastor at this meeting of pastors. And this story will help you understand why I avoid those meetings sometimes now. Not all the time now. I don't know why. And nothing bad. I mean, all right, I'll stop with all the judgments. But he said to me, yeah, you know, we really decided to get a little missional, and so we thought we'd go over to this elementary school that's actually right across the street from the school, and I'd seen some other people talk about, you know, raking leaves or doing stuff like that, so we decided to do that. But I went over there, and it turns out the principal is an atheist. And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure how that label got placed on her or whether it is, whatever. I'm just thinking in my mind, it's like, this is going downhill already. And so he said, but she agreed. And so we went over and we raked some leaves and put up, you know, new basketball nets and stuff like that. And he says, and you won't believe it, the principal actually called me up and was super thankful. Well, oh, okay. No, I wouldn't believe it that you did something nice for someone that was a pagan and they were thankful. But I kept my mouth. I just sat there. And he says, yeah, in fact, she said, hey, can I come? And I just would like to thank the church. And so he said she came, and he said she just started crying and was just super emotional and just like, no one's ever helped us out. No one's ever done anything for us as a school, and we're just so thankful that you guys came and helped. And I'm all, wow. So finally I started talking. It's like, that was awesome. Not what I expected. It was really good. It's like, man, that's the best story ever. It's like she could really see that you guys loved her. And guy goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, I don't know that we're going to do it again. And I'm all, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, I mean, you know, no one really ended up coming to church because of that. I mean, we did it, and she hasn't really come to church after that, and no one from the school. So we're just sort of feeling like it really wasn't worthwhile, and we're probably focusing on it. It's like, what? Do you know, that's what Paul's talking about. If you do all that stuff, but you miss the best part is now she's like, you have this relationship just blossoming with someone who feels the love of God coming down. And because they feel the love of God, they're not quite sure where to place that. So they're just placing it on you. And you get to enjoy that. And you're saying it wasn't what? See, that's what he's saying. Emulate, fine, you know, emulate whatever you want to emulate with all that. But understand where, what we're hoping for. What we're hoping for isn't to be this person that like, oh, I can tell by the Holy Spirit every problem there is in your life and speak it to you. No, that's fine. But the purpose of that is just so that you can have this interaction with someone so that some love can start to build. And so he's saying, look, this can get you sidetracked sometimes when you start emulating this and this. Even when you can kind of get it squared out in your mind and you understand this is just God's grace coming down. I'm just trying to connect to what God's doing. What you were trying to connect to isn't the act of that. We're trying to connect to God's heart and have this relationship where hearts are open now. And so he says, you can actually just go directly to that. You can just start trying to connect to that. And then I guarantee you, God's power will come behind that. You'll figure out that you're able to express your love to this person in a way that's just completely beyond what you would normally be able to do. It may be that you just end up, I mean, there's lots of times where you just end up having more grace for this person or forgiveness for this person that's just extraordinary that maybe no one else has. It might be that you pray for them and something happens. It could be a million different things. The way that God expresses it is a huge variety, but you'll figure that out what your part is. But you figure it out. He says the best way is to figure out what it is that we're shooting for, and that's love. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. What we're emulating isn't the acts of those love. It's actually feeling it, you know, actually feeling some sort of amount of care for someone, or our heart just sort of opened up a little bit to someone and their heart opening up to us. That's what we're shooting for with all this stuff. That's where the meaning is found. Now, if we're going to do that, here's where he goes into next. He says, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Now, he's just listed off a bunch of things that are listed off in the Old Testament as laws. Don't do this, don't do that. But he's rephrased it all in terms of why that's all important. He's saying, if we're going to focus not on these external things, but on what's actually important, the love part, love the Lord your God with all, love your neighbor yourself, not just these acts that we totally fail at from time to time, but that feeling of it. He says, you're going to have to do some things to protect your heart. And a lot of these things are, you know, does not take into account a wrong suffered. What's that? There's a lot of times when we feel justified in closing our heart off to someone. And he's saying, don't do that. If we really want to have a fulfilling life and we want to connect to the goodness that God's doing, it's not going to be just connecting to these acts that we think are cool or neat or make us look nice. It's going to be connecting to people's hearts. And if we're going to do that and really open our heart up, we're going to have to battle our heart, protect our heart from closing off to people. There isn't going to be righteous reasons to close our heart off to people. And I'll tell you, you don't have to live life very long to know how this comes up. Every single day, we have these interactions with people, and you can feel in your mind these justifications or these impulses to close off to them. Sometimes it's a stereotype. Sometimes it's a hurt. Sometimes it's a judgment. Sometimes it's judgments of right or wrong. But there's all these reasons that start coming up, and you can feel it when you really start looking of your heart starting to harden a little bit towards the person. He says, the real battle isn't in figuring out all these cool things and what the next trend is. The real battle is present, and you feel it every day in this battle over your heart to either close it off or open it up. And he says, start focusing on that. He says, now that's maturity. Talking about all these methods, that's all great. But what it really comes down to is this moment in our hearts. And he says, get mature about that. And I feel like that all the time. I feel like, man, I'm like in my 50s. When am I going to grow up? You know? Why is this, isn't this bothering me? Why do I feel my heart go, why? You know, this is ridiculous. I should just be mature for a little bit. But that's where he says the battle is. Focus on that. Then he says, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. He says, the best way for us to figure out our purpose in life, how to have a fulfilling life, is how are we connecting to the goodness, the grace of God, these big grace that's pouring down. What's our part? How do we connect? How do we find that? He says, the best way of finding it is to just start trying to love some people. Start opening our heart up to people. And if we're going to do that, it's going to require us to start guarding our heart. It's going to be a little bit of a job to keep our heart open. It's not natural. It says the work will be done in keeping that heart open. And how we can keep that heart open, he says a really great way to do it is to start thinking about what's eternal and what's temporal. And he says, even these wonderful gifts like speaking in tongues, gifts of prayer, knowledge, all these different things, giving all that you have to the poor. He says, it's all wonderful, but this is all temporary. When you're in heaven, you're not going to be giving all that you have to the poor. So that is a method. That's something that's temporary. But he says, what's behind that? The relationships that I'm building. We just had a little block party, just like a couple houses down at the rec center from our house. And it was just really wonderful block party. There was a ton of food. Andrew cooked up, I don't know how many, at least 40 pounds of chicken and probably 2,000 pounds of hot dogs, maybe. I don't know. You know, turkey dogs, probably. I don't know what they were. And everyone ate and ate and ate. And I'm sure people were hungry and all that. And that was all good. But I guarantee you the best thing is that like I got to know one guy that just lives like a block down from me. It's like you got to, you know, meet some, whatever is happening there, if I become a friend with this person, that's eternal. You You know, I'm going to be able to go up in heaven and we're going to be able to talk about that day. But the feeding and the food and all that, that's temporary. And it's not that it's not important. It's just, it's temporary. And all it does is facilitate the eternal. And so what he's saying is quit trying to guard our methods and instead guard what it is that's going to be eternal. You know, if we sit there and I tell Andrew, you know, this isn't really the right way of barbecuing all this. If you were, you know, should be barbecuing over here and people would just enjoy the hot dogs. They'd be a little bit fresher, stay a little bit hotter. It's like, I'm arguing about a bunch of stupid stuff. And the impulse in our heart is to go there a lot of times. We just start nitpicking about all this stupid stuff. And it's all temporary stuff that isn't where I'm not going to be up in heaven. All the hot dogs will be barbecued perfectly in heaven. You know? So he says, guard what it is that's going to be important. And what's going to be important is whatever it is you think that's going to be important when we're in heaven. Whatever it is you think that you're going to take with you into heaven, guard that. And here's how he ends. It says, when I was a child, I used to speak as a child and think as a child and reason like a child. But I became a man, I did away with childish things. As I've already said, I'm working towards that. Maybe in another 10, 20 years, I'll finally move away from the childish things. But he says that's basically what we're doing when we do this. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been known fully. But now faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. What he says is, if we're really trying to connect to what God's doing, and God has something spiritual way that he's going to connect us to the goodness that he's bringing down. And we can find that by just going out and starting to open our hearts up to people. We're going to have to guard our hearts a little bit. But he says, guard it from what? Guard it from focusing on temporary things rather than what's eternal with our relationships. And then he says, all this really comes down to is just start getting to know people. You'll know them a little bit now, but then when you're in heaven, you'll know them fully. It's like, I've been married to Karen. I know how long I've been married. 25 years. And, knowing her a little bit before that, you know, maybe a couple more years. And, you know, when you start dating someone, this is my dating advice for people. I don't know the right questions to ask. It may be like, oh, you know, you like blue, I like blue too. And like, you know, oh, you know, you read this, oh, I might read that book too. I think I might like that book. And it's like, oh, these are the types of TV shows I watch. It's like, oh, I don't really like those, but I'll go watch it with you. What are you doing when you're dating? You're just getting to know someone. That's it. And the hope is it's going to result in something really wonderful so that you're not alone or something like that, so that you'll meet someone you'll be able to share your life with. It's all about just getting to know them. And that's what he's saying. We make dating, we make everything in life so complicated, and we got to follow all these rules and regulations and pay money to people to help do this or do that. He says, it's just about getting to know, just start getting to know some people. He says, that's where the love starts. He says, the love, coming to love someone, it's really about just coming to know them and to be known by them. You know, Karen knows me now better than anyone else other than God. She knows me better than I know myself. And I know her better than her. And I'm going to get to know her better. And she's going to get to know me better. But that's where the wonderful things in life lie. They don't lie in like, well, if you really want to like create a good marriage, here's what you do. You bring flowers home every day. I mean, that's fine. Emulate that. That's wonderful. But the real thing it comes down to isn't the flowers or this or this or that or, you know, her dad told me when I first, you know, you need to really start drinking coffee with Karen. I hated drinking coffee. It's taken me, I think, when did I finally heed his advice? Maybe like 2 years ago, 23 years, to finally like take the fatherly advice from my father. I started drinking coffee. Karen and I have this now fun thing. We go around and drink coffee. I bring her coffee. It's like a new thing, you know. It's not that the expressions like that are meaningless. They're wonderful. But what makes them wonderful is the getting to know you part. If the getting to know you part wasn't there, then coffee wouldn't be wonderful or flowers wouldn't be wonderful. It doesn't really matter. That's what he's saying. He says it's as simple as that. If you really want to connect to a meaningful life, it's going to mean connecting to the goodness, the grace of God that's pouring down on us that isn't deserved, that it's given to us by forgiveness, and a forgiveness that's justified because Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And he died for us because of this, because greater love has no one than this, than one would give up his life for his friends. He says, I don't call you servants, I call you my friends. He spent time getting to know them, with them, walking around with them. They got to know him. And that's what Paul's saying. It really is that simple. Just start going out and getting to know some people. You see some person over there, go get to know them. You see this person, go get to know them. Someone approaches you and tries to get to know you, don't just like turn off and blow them off. Get to know them. Stop for a second and get to know them a little bit. And he says, if we're getting to know, then yes, there's going to be times where we're going to feel like we're, just don't close your heart off. There'll be a million reasons to close your heart off. Just don't. But wait for the gift of God. Wait for these expressions of being able to help people out and have these wonderful things and be a part of what God's doing. But it all really comes down to just be open in your heart. Not just in practice, but in our heart, be open to getting to know some people. And God's going to bring people your way, and it won't be an accident. And he'll bring people into your life that want to get to know you, and it won't be an accident. It'll be because God's trying to open our hearts up because he wants to do something wonderful, and the connection we have that he's putting there, that's what's going to facilitate it. Bow our heads, close our eyes for a second. If you've been feeling like something's stirring in your heart that you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, but this is making sense to you, and you'd like forgiveness, and you'd like the Holy Spirit, and you'd like Jesus, the forgiveness of sins that comes through Jesus, so raise your hand really quickly, and I'll pray with you. See your hand. I see yours. Anyone else? I see yours too. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for forgiveness for these brothers and sister. Lord, we just thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that you would give forgiveness. I pray that you would give your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would just pull them close to you. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to get to know them and them to get to know us. And I pray that your blessing would just pour into their life. And Lord, I pray that the blessing wouldn't just be the blessings the way we think of things normally, but the blessing of you really opening them up to the wonderful things that you're doing and letting them be a part of your love pouring down. Lord, we just ask all these things, Lord, in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you'd like any kind of prayer, you can come up and there'll be people up here to pray for you.